over 70 hours per week of Houston's best local sports talk. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.
They want to be down with the Canary.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
All right, welcome in, everybody. John and Jake, Lance, lazy once again. But this is the winter of Lance. So you had the summer of Charlie, and now you got the winter of Lance. So he has been, I don't know what the deal is. Oh, he went away this weekend and had himself a big time. We'll hear about that tomorrow on the show. But Jake Asman is with us this morning here on the show, along with Aaron Raybould. He is our producer, and we've got 3 hours of a lot of stuff to talk about. What a great weekend it was.
Oh, what a weekend. If you're a Texan fan, plenty of scoring drives yesterday.
Unbelievable.
Incredible performance.
Up and down the field. They just look like a well-oiled machine, just finally getting their footing and just looking really great. Really.
So good. They needed two different quarterbacks to run the offense. They were having too much fun out there.
It's just the worst. They're the worst. I mean, and now you look at the Rockets with their sixth straight win. You know, that was a question. Which team is going to be able to pull out earlier? Which team is going to actually, you know, not be the worst in their respective league? And I don't think it's even arguable right now.
Oh, the Rockets are the hottest team in basketball. Yeah. All right, they have the longest win streak in the NBA now that the Suns have lost. So go figure.
It's unbelievable. And here's the deal, too, is, well, I don't know. See, I'm kind of torn on this whole thing, and it's just continuing and continuing. No Kevin Porter Jr., and no Jalen Green, and this is when you're winning. That seems to be a problem. You know, you look at all of these box scores, and they're winning because they're actually shooting the ball well. They're close to 50% from the field. They're 40% from three. When Jalen Green and KPJ are on the floor together, it's just a mishmash of just hodgepodge and, you know, just whatever that goes on. It just has no rhyme or reason, the offense. And now it looks like, I don't, it's still not great. But at least they're getting shots that are makeable now.
I feel like Steven Silas with this run maybe saved his job as well. Like, there was legitimate talk going into that Wednesday night game against the Bulls right before Thanksgiving. Well, if this losing streak continues, could they make a change? And all they've done since is win six straight. And the legitimate debate that we had in this town, well, who'd get their second win first, the Texans or the Rockets? Texans eventually got that second win because the Tannehill-led Titans handed them a W a couple of weeks back. But Rockets have been playing well. I mean, that's one positive you could point to as far as the pro teams in this town.
Oh, man. I mean, really well. So this is nice. And, you know, we had Roosh on, and he said, well, the biggest adjustment was taking Daniel Tice out of the starting lineup, not going with the two bigs, doing a lot more pick and roll. But Tice started again last night, and you know what? They just kept shooting well. Look at the 5 of 8, 4 of 6, 7 of 13, 7 of 14, 4 of 6, 4 of 6, 3 of 7, 3 of 8. The guys are shooting well. And from 3, 42%, 42.5% from 3, which is, you know, just Jalen Green by himself is just going to throw up a 1 for 13 or whatever. So, I mean, being able to shoot in the NBA might be kind of a big deal. It might be a bit important. We're not sure, but it might have something to do with this winning streak right now. It's a 10-point win over the Pelicans. Not that the Pelicans are great shakes, but, you know, they were looking like crap against everybody. There is something that clicked with this basketball team.
It's wild because they became the first team ever in the history of the sport to go from losing 15 or more games to then winning the next six straight. Like, it just doesn't happen. Yeah. So, yeah, give a lot of credit to Silas and the players that are playing well. What does it mean, big picture? I mean, you brought it up. If Jalen Green's not out there, if KPJ's not out there, those are two guys that are supposed to be part of your young core going forward. So eventually, those guys got to come back and play well and help this team win some games and at least show us something. But enjoy it while you have it, because, you know, the sports in this town for at least, you know, the next several months until we eventually at some point maybe get baseball back is not going to be too pretty.
No. We got the Texans and we got no baseball. So and we'll see what happens. Man, the Carlos Correa talk everywhere in this city is just so unbelievable. I got a little insight into what he'd take, but we can talk about that a little bit later. But part of this, too, is look at this. The schedule was brutal. Was brutal for the Rockets. I mean, they had so many more road games than home games. Now they've won these six. Five of them have been at home, plus they got two more. They got Brooklyn coming in and Milwaukee coming in. Now, I don't expect too much out of, you know, playing Brooklyn and Milwaukee over the next two games, Wednesday and Friday. But, you know, being home a little bit, the Chicago game, the Charlotte, the Oklahoma City, the Orlando game, the New Orleans game, five of the six games that they've won here have been at home. And it sure is nice to have a nice little, because it was garbage the way that they had to start this season, how many road games they gave them.
Yeah, and they just weren't playing well in those games either. It's not even like they were competitive in a lot of those games. I'll tell you what, John, if they beat the Brooklyn Nets in their next game, then maybe we start to go, we reevaluate, you know, what this team is a little bit. They could get James Harden, a little revenge factor at home in that game. Then maybe we could have a different type of conversation with this team. But it's been fun to watch. They do have young players still playing on this team, even with the Green injury and KPJ being out of the lineup. So, look, I mean, you wanted to see some sort of growth from this team this year. You've been getting it, and nobody saw this coming, given how awful they were to start the year.
You know, it's funny. This Brooklyn game is actually an attractive game for fans. Now, you've won six in a row, and you're playing some decent basketball. You're able to watch Christian Wood and, you know, and Şengün and some of the younger players that are going to be around. I really don't mind that Jaylen and Cape. Take your time to get back, guys. Take your time, because this is actually watchable basketball. But a buddy of mine, and you know, I got a couple of buddies that have tickets, and they've been, you know, trying to get rid of them, and it's been impossible to get rid of Rockets tickets. But this game actually has a little juice, and people actually want to go see, which will be neat. Maybe it'll be over half full, which would be – no, that would be awesome. You know, I feel bad for Tillman. I ain't worried about Tillman's money. But you know, he has been – you know, he bought this team for $2.2 billion. And he just walked into it's gross. It was just gross what had happened to this organization and having to get rid of James Harden and the fat suit and everything else that went along with owning this team so far. And, you know, the COVID and all. I mean, it's just been just a brutal run. To see them to actually, you know, have a nice little time here is actually nice, because unlike Cal, it hasn't been like they've been incompetent at the Rockets. You know, he did move in Rafael Stone, who had zero experience. He did bring in Steven Silas, who had zero experience at the jobs that they were going to do. But it's not like they're totally incompetent like the Texans have been. So for them to actually get a crowd there, it'll be nice. And you know what? There might be some people there. They go. You know, you can still get tickets as low. You go to Simple Seats, and you're going to get tickets at a really, really great price still for this game. But they deserve a little bit of attention, and hopefully we'll have some people out there on Wednesday night.
No doubt. And you know, to your point, the way the Rockets have gone about the rebuild, I mean, there's a clear plan in place. You could see what they're doing. The way the Texans have done it, no one believes it. No one wants to buy into it, because the Texans shouldn't be rebuilding in the first place. We're less than 2 years removed from this team having a 24-0 lead in the divisional round of the playoffs. So it's just the way that each of those teams have gone about it. If you're a Rocket fan who's also a Texan fan, you feel way better about the Rockets' plan, the young players you could point to. The Texans are so bad, John, and what's infuriating about watching them, how many young players can you point to on their team and say, yep, this guy 3 years from now will be a part of the solution? With the Rockets, you could legitimately do that. You cannot do that with the Texans.
No, absolutely. You know what? That's a great point in that. What is he doing? Kramu Grugier-Hill, great game yesterday. Oh, what did he have, 80 tackles? Whatever he did, 17 tackles, whatever the number was, and that's just great. He's not going to be here. Why is he here now? Why are a bunch of these guys? Why is Pierre Lewis? Why did they pick up Mark Ingram? Why did they pick up Philip Lindsay? Why didn't they just cut David Johnson? At least the Rockets goes, you know what, John Wall, we owe you $91 million. Sit. We don't want you to play.
Right.
Because we've got a plan on how we're going to redo this thing with young players. But the Texans, listen, how many people were there yesterday?
A lot of people dressed up as empty seats.
No, the whole thing was just an embarrassment. And there's a video of a guy. He's a leg tattoo. He's a leg sleeve tattoo guy, right? And you don't often see that. I don't know how many. You got a bunch of tats?
I have zero tats.
You're all tatted up.
I'm not a tats guy. I'm not a tatsman, as they say.
Yeah, I can see that. As white
he's
as you
lying.
Are.
He's like Dolly Parton. He takes off the shirt when he goes to the pool, and it's just covered.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's probably, that is probably you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to confirm or deny maybe that right. aspect of it, you know.
Right, but here's the guy yelling, and the cop finally came and walked him up, and he's got a sign that says, sell the team, you're terrible.
Tommy Boy.
And here is Tommy, yeah, he called him Tommy Boy. He had a sign on, hey, Tommy Boy, sell the team. And here he is yelling at Cal yesterday.
The team, you loser!
Now, just get that one from now on. Whenever somebody comes in, I don't care, you loser. You don't care, loser, loser. And listen, when you see the video of him, it's not half full there. It's a quarter full there. There's so many seats. And I just don't, this organization just doesn't care. They've got all that television money from CBS and Fox and ESPN, and they just don't care what you think. And it's just, it's getting worse and worse and worse, and to the point where yesterday, I don't know that I've seen a worse product ever. It's the worst product of any sport. Even the Astros' 100-loss season, at least you knew, you know, they're playing young guys, and Tyrod Taylor is awful. This is awful. It's just unwatchable. It's un everything. It's un everything you can possibly ask for, and you know, is there any chance he would sell the team? I mean, is there? And that's the only hope right now.
I think Cal's too far insulated to really even hear a lot of the negative reaction. He's being told, "Hey, we got a plan. You got to trust us. You got to see what we're doing." And he's bought in. He gave Nick Caserio a 6-year contract. Caserio was handpicked by Jack Easterby, who we clearly trust. So. You just look at this team right now. I mean, it's the first time they've ever been shut out in the regular season at home. Like, it's pathetic. Both quarterbacks stink, but why are we watching Tyrod Taylor at this point? You can't sit here and tell me, David Culley, he gives your team the best chance to win. Like, this team is just inept on offense. Inept. I mean, to not score. Like, and I don't want to hear about, oh, well, Grugier Hill had all these tackles. Yeah, because the Colts are just running the ball every play. But Jonathan Taylor, you're a linebacker. There's more opportunities to get tackles. There's nothing you could point to with this team right now that you could feel really great about the future. And at least with that fan who's yelling at Cal to sell the team, at least that fan is showing emotion, right? I get a sense doing the show in the afternoons with Cody and BK that a lot of Texans fans are just apathetic towards the team at this point. At least that guy was still angry. At least he was still there late in the fourth quarter voicing his displeasure. I think a vast majority of Texans fans are just so mentally beat down, just checked out on this franchise right now. It was actually nice to see someone showing emotion there in that audio.
No, you're right about that, because there's none. And by the way, Grugier Hill had 20 tackles, so he set the record for most tackles by a player. That's awesome. Good for you. But that is the reason is because the Colts had so many more plays, so there's so many more opportunities for you to tackle because your offense is such a disaster.
They had 141
and
yards of offense yesterday against a Colts team that was up the entire game. They're playing prevent, and they still can't move the ball. It's impossible to be this bad. As bad, like, the Jets' defense is horrendous. They didn't score against them in the second half. We watched Gardner Minshew torch them yesterday. Like, the fact that the Texans could not move the ball against the Jets just shows you how bad this offense is. And they follow that performance up by not even scoring at home yesterday.
No, just stay away, and I'll tell them what you think of them. Yeah, you're right. At least that guy cared. I'd be like, what? But I'm not going out there. I'm just not. I gave up my season tickets. I'm done. I had season tickets for whatever, 19 years of them, and I'm done giving them my money. That's it. And I will never give them my money again. Not as long as this iteration of ownership and management is in place. They're done. All right, 713-780-3776. If you've got thoughts on that, we've got college football playoffs to talk. Dell is going to join us a little bit later in the show to talk about the way it happened. I am of the opinion that the committee really screwed Michigan. And we'll talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I'm talking about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Make it your your payroll company, and let them come and customize that plan for your business. It takes a little while. I mean, they do a deep dive into your business, exactly what you need, exactly what you've got to have. They will go, and this is the perfect time. This is a great time for you to transition into a new year and into a new payroll company. If you're not completely satisfied, if your payroll company wasn't there with the small business loans or the PPP or with the unemployment claims, if they weren't there, if they're not there every tax season with your Affordable Care Act, if they're not paying attention, if your benefits packages are too expensive, but you have to take what your payroll company gives you in benefits packages, then you should be with our payroll company, because none of that happens with HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Tell them you heard it right here.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
I think I need help. I'm drowning in myself.
The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It was revealed yesterday that it's Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, and Cincinnati as the college football playoffs. Kirk Herbstreit was a little,
what happened to that narrative? The group of five can't get in. Oh, what happened to that? I guess that's wrong, isn't it?
Shut up, Kirk. Okay? The only reason is because Notre Dame was the only team that you could possibly put in, and Cincinnati beat them head-to-head. That's the only reason Cincinnati is in. Because if Oklahoma State had won...
You think they're getting in? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if they had dominated Baylor, you know, winning on the last play of the game... would have been interesting to see how the committee would have looked at that. But obviously, their strength of schedule was going to be tougher than Cincinnati's. They did lose the one game. They did have a struggle with Baylor. They did have a struggle with Oklahoma. But those are two, you know, good programs. Very good programs. And actually, Cincinnati, you know, they saw Houston and they saw Notre Dame and they saw Indiana. SMU, other than that, you know, Cincinnati should have been rolling. And they didn't. Cincinnati didn't roll this year over everybody. Cincinnati actually did not get many style points throughout the middle of the season. You're screwing this up, Cincinnati. You need to be beating these people soundly. Tulanes and Tulsas and Navies, and they didn't do that. So a lot of that would have been on themselves, because you do have to have style points. But I'm you know, over the last 2 weeks, beating Ohio State and then trouncing Iowa. And I realize what Iowa is, but Ohio State came in as one of the hottest teams in the country and a pretty damn good football team. And the way that Michigan beat them, I know it was at home, but they still, you know, they trounced them. They ran the ball. They got, you know, on both sides of the ball, the lines were just fantastic. I think Michigan got screwed a little bit here.
You think they should have been the one?
They should have been the one.
Interesting. I don't hate it. I don't hate the take. I'm good with it either way. I just think the way Bama beat Georgia, maybe if that game's closer, you have more of an argument. But they dominated a Georgia team that was a 6.5-point favorite over Saban. Saban an underdog for the first time in 92 games or something like that. So I think, to your point on Cincinnati with the style points, Alabama, with the style points they had, taking on a defense that was allowing less than 10 points per game, they put a 41 spot on them. I think that's why you moved them to number one.
Yeah, I can get it. I also, though, saw an Alabama team against Florida, against LSU, against Auburn.
Yep.
That's not the number one team in the country. If that's the number one team in the country, I realize that they had themselves a week, and we can, hey, any given Saturday, you know, you can look great. But I didn't see a football team, to me, that was a dominant, clear-cut number one. And, you know, Michigan had its faults, obviously. I thought they got screwed against Michigan State. If Michigan is number one, and listen, this is not a television show. And we had this argument. We've got a text stream. We had this argument. This is a TV show, and they don't want that rerun of Alabama-Georgia in the first round. Well, so because they don't want their television show to go the way that they don't want it to go, that means that Michigan, instead of having to go through Cincinnati, has to go through Georgia? That ain't fair. I don't give a rat's ass about watching. We're more than likely going to be watching Georgia and Alabama again anyway.
Yeah, if I had to make a pick, I think that's where we're headed. I just think, once again, the way Bama beat Georgia and the fact that they don't want to have the immediate rematch in the semifinal, I think those two factors heavily weighed what the committee did. But to your point on Cincinnati, man, I'm glad they got in, right? I mean, it's about time a non-Power 5 school got in because the system's built to prevent this from happening. So the fact that Cincinnati had the schedule where they did have the head-to-head win over Notre Dame, and the way they beat Notre Dame, they beat them soundly, too, on the road, which was impressive. So them getting in, look, do I think they could beat Alabama? No, but I'm happy we get to watch them rather than, you know, Oklahoma get blown out or Notre Dame get blown out. Yeah. Like, how many times have we seen that over the last five, 6 years?
Well, that's another thing I don't want to hear is if they do, if Cincinnati does get blown out, which is a real possibility, that, oh, we'll see, the group of five doesn't belong. Then Notre Dame doesn't ever belong. Oklahoma doesn't ever belong. You know, there are plenty of teams that don't belong anymore. Ohio State doesn't belong because they've been blown out in the semifinal.
Honestly, most of the semifinal games in like recent history have been blowouts. If you actually go back and look at it, usually there's like two dominant teams every year, and then there's a gap. You know, this year maybe there's a little more parity towards the top, especially with the we all thought Georgia was this, you know, forever team, this defense, and then, you know, Bryce Young goes out there led by the immortal Bill O'Brien calling the plays, and Alabama puts it on Georgia.
Yeah. So you and I were talking about Ian because you know Ian. You know Ian Meltzer, right? And
listener of the station?
Listener of the station. Well, yeah, he's a good friend of the show. My triplets turned 21 today. His triplets. You know, he had, under Jake, they had the triplets. If it wasn't for John Granato giving them a sip of beer at a Texans game back in 2008, today would definitely be the first time any of them had a drink. I'm sure of it. That's not the case. But secondly, I didn't give him a sip. I was like pouring beer down his mouth. I mean, it was kind of funny. He was wasted by the time I got done with him. This was 2008. He was 8 years old. He was 8 years old at the time.
Start him early.
So I couldn't be prouder of me. I couldn't be prouder of me for getting his kid bleep faced. Anyway, so. You and I were talking during the break. We know some common people here. But back to this game. Listen, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure how Cincinnati is going to handle Alabama. There is one factor that gives them a shot, and that's Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien factor could really, really give them a shot. You know what we ought to do is we ought to get Dana on sometime this week. He was out recruiting yesterday. He was heavily recruiting, and I think they're going to get a different kind of player going to the Big 12 and the kind of season that they had. It was a really great bounce-back year for University of Houston. Now they've got Auburn in the bowl game on the 28th against Birmingham, which is nice. And I think they've got a chance to prove that they're a pretty good football team. Auburn played Alabama really tough the last we saw them. We know Auburn has some flaws and they don't have Bo Nix, but that's still a quality football team. It'll be interesting to see how University of Houston stacks up against them in Birmingham.
No doubt. I think if you're a Cook fan, you got to love the way this year played out. Of course, you'd like to cap it off winning the conference championship. And I thought Dana Holgorsen, your guy, made a pretty good point after the game. You go undefeated in conference play. Should you really be having to play the game in Cincinnati's house? Like, shouldn't there be a neutral site like a lot of these conferences do? Like, of course, they play in Atlanta for the SEC as an example. They played in Indy for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So I understood Dana's point there, but Cincinnati's really good. They deserve to move on. I'm glad they got in, but the Cougs had a phenomenal season. For a Holgorsen to go out there in year three and have this type of year on the, you know, precipice of going to the Big 12, you can't ask for a better season from the Cougs.
No, and we had really nice. We get LSU versus Kansas State. You know that the Texas Bowl is what it is. It's going to be. It's January 4th too, by the way, which will be one of the last games. And it's LSU versus Kansas State. Now Kansas State won't show up nearly as much as LSU will. It'll be interesting to see. Now this is without Coach O. It'll be interesting to see how they go about it. Brian Kelly will be here, probably eating some Southern Fried Chicken and some chitlins and everything else that Brian Kelly goes along with Brian Kelly's Southern Brian Kelly. But having that's a good bowl game here.
More people will be at that game than probably most Texans games that have been played this year.
Oh, no, I don't think there's any question. I don't think there's any question. There will be more LSU fans there than Texans fans. Just LSU fans.
Sure.
Yeah, just LSU fans.
Well, in fairness, if you wear purple to that game, you're good to go. You could say you're root for either team.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, too. That is true, too. It's a different kind of purple. I think LSU wear gold for the game so that you can decipher which side is which. But yeah, that's a pretty good bowl. Oklahoma State and Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. That's going to be fun. You know, I know the playoff, you know, everybody's like, it'll kill the bowl game. I really don't think so. If you, and there's 42 bowl games now, for 84 teams that qualified. We added a game in Frisco just to get every team that was qualified in. You know, oh, it's just too much. Blah, blah, blah. Don't watch it then. You know why? You don't like it? Don't watch it. So for those teams, they want to travel. They want to have a good time during the Christmas holidays. They want to go see their team, or they don't want to go see their team. Whatever the case may be, then you know what? Then let those people have what they want. There are some nice matchups that we've got in the bowl season.
I'm not going to bowl shame. I'm not going to do that on your show, John.
No.
I mean, I'll watch all the bowls. I'll bet on as many as possible. It makes it interesting. The only thing I'll say is, why are we doing the playoff games once again on New Year's Eve? Remember a couple of years ago, it was like a disaster ratings-wise because they played the games on New Year's Eve? And they're doing that again. Now, look, the matchups are good. People are going to watch that are hardcore sports fans. But a lot of people go out on New Year's Eve. A lot of people are doing other things other than maybe sitting on their couch watching sports. I was surprised that they put the two playoff games, Bama and Cincinnati and Michigan and Georgia, on New Year's Eve again. Because I feel like a couple of years ago, there was a whole thing on they played the games on New Year's Eve and the ratings took a dive.
It's all about the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl won't move off that 3 o'clock spot, 3 o'clock here spot, and they don't want to play a national semifinal at noon and then 7 because the Rose Bowl is not involved in the college football playoff. Then and it's just so embarrassing. You know what? Play the game at noon, play the Rose Bowl at 3, and then play the other semifinal at 7. And you know what? So what? So you played one of your semifinal games. It's still that noon game. On New Year's Day is still going to rate higher than your New Year's Eve rating.
I agree. Right? I think the numbers back that up, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, by the way, the Rose Bowl is Utah against Ohio State. So it's basically the former Urban Meyer coached, like, invitational that you have in Pasadena.
Yeah. Ohio State and Utah that'll be an interesting game as well. There's a lot of good bowl. I'm excited about this college football bowl. And hopefully, I don't know. There's a lot of poo-pooing of the college football expansion. We'll find out whether or not that happens. But according to some people, it doesn't look like it's going to happen soon enough anyway for it to get done before this contract is up. So we'll see. I do know this. I can go and bet on all those games at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles because they've got the DraftKings Sportsbook now. We were there to open it up, and it was awesome. I talked to Mattress Mac the other day. And, hey, he gave me a bad pick on that A&M Ole Miss game. I didn't really give you that, Mac. That was you. That was really kind of you. You did that to yourself. I'm sorry about that. You lost a lot of money on that. But, you know, and how about this? They flew him there. They got him there on a helicopter. We want you to make the first bet. And, oh, by the way, it's going to cost you $60,000 because you lost your bet. But he could have won. There is that. You don't have to bet $60,000. You know what? You can bet $6. You can bet whatever you want at the DraftKings Sportsbook at the Golden Nugget. Now, it's very Las Vegas-like because you've got sports betting, but you've always had the great casino. You got the great hotel. You got the great restaurants. You got the great pool. You got the great golf course. You got it all. Make your plans now. We did ours already for Christmas, over the Christmas holiday. Make your plans for the spring. Don't wait. Do it now so that you get in for sure and you got your spot in the cabana at the pool because that is awesome. It's all at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles, just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It's the Golden Nugget.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
My apologies to Brooks Cabina. I didn't promote that he was going to be on. Unfortunately, in the radio business, you try to keep a tease is where you try to keep listeners. And if I was to tease that we're going to talk Texans football on the other side, I think we would have probably lost listeners. So I apologize to Brooks, but that's just the way it's going right now. Brooks Cabina from the Houston Chronicle covers the Houston Texans, and he's here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brooks, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine this morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You came from LSU, where you saw a lot of high flying and greatness, and now you got this. I mean, Is this what, this can't be what you signed up for. How difficult is your job right now to make anything positive out of what's going on at NRG?
Man, you know, it's coming into this job, you know, you knew what was going to happen here. I mean, lots of transition, lots of stuff, new players and just a new thing. So, I mean, it is a bit repetitive. You just watch the offense, and again, they try to do a little wrinkle to boost something in the run game, and then, you know, there's turnovers and penalties. And I mean, you're watching a team that is playing out the way that a lot has kind of expected. The Texans were not expected to be good this year, and you're really just looking for what signs are there that things are going to improve in the future, and what players are showing that they're going to be a part of the long-term future as well. So, I mean, we've got another chance on that to look at that with Tyrod Taylor going out and Davis Mills coming in. So that's really the discussion, you know, as you go forward here with five games left. I mean, gosh, you really start to, like, you look outside and whenever you see the stadium and the way it's, you know, the empty seats that are there, it just feels like a lot of Texans fans are just in hibernation at this time. And, you know, I grew up here in Clear Lake. You know, I remember in 2005 when they went 2-14, and you know, watching the Texans this year and 31-0, I had no idea, and just thinking in the years that the Texans have had in previous years, that was the first time that they've been shut out at home.
I didn't realize that either.
History in a regular season. I mean, I remember the Chiefs playoff game, but I mean, it's just a lot of things that need to be covered across this team. And you know, the free agency and the draft should be awful busy for Caserio, and what'll be the second offseason.
Brooks, Davis Mills comes into this game. He wasn't great, but at this point, should Davis Mills be the quarterback these last five games? At least if you're going to lose, play the guy that could get some experience that might be on the team next year.
I mean, that's the argument. I mean, what are the last five games with Tyrod Taylor, who's on a one-year contract? Is he going to be re-signed and come back? I mean, at this point, you know what you get from him. I mean, he's been healthy the last three games, and the offense just has not been able to move the ball. I mean, when they beat the Titans, the defense forced four interceptions, and they got a muff punt within the 10 and that they were able to score on. I mean, the defense has been supplying the firepower in the last 3 weeks, and the offense, just if they had played just moderately well on league averages, they might be able to do well. And Tyrod Taylor is, I mean, completing five passes and none of them through receivers, that's just another thing that boggles your mind. So, I mean, you know that Davis Mills is going to be around on this rookie contract. So you want to be able to see what you have more out of him. The only question there becomes, is there such a thing as bad experience? I mean, when you look at the offensive line played better with its configuration on Sunday. I thought Titus Howard played well again at left tackle, and they got some movement there on the left side with the run game. But, I mean, it's just Davis Mills going in there, and is he going to learn much through this? I mean, maybe there is no such thing as bad experience, but you got to know what you have in him. I mean, at this point, that's really the trial run. I think that's pretty much the argument there. I do think, you know, he looked a little shaky in the second half when he came in. There's that, you know, intentional grounding where it looked like even on a couple of plays that just wasn't on the same page with receivers. But, you know, the whole conversation throughout the year, David Culley was firm that Tyrod Taylor was going to be their starter when healthy, that he gave him the best chance to win. Kind of the whole thing with this team was that were they going to compete for the playoffs? Not likely, but they wanted to be competitive and create some environment where they could figure out what players would be able to be a part of this team long term, and would see that. So that's part of the argument. You had Tyrod Taylor in there was that maybe you'd be close and create an environment where you might see something from offensive players that would show you, okay, some evaluation long term. That's just not there. I mean, it's historically inept right now. So you might as well throw in Davis Mills to see if he's going to be part of your long term future. So I would agree. If Mills isn't playing on Sunday against the Seahawks, it would be a very interesting conversation.
Not interesting. It'd just be dumb. Brooks Covino with us here on ESPN 97.5. He covers the Texans for your Houston Chronicle. Okay, so I've asked this question before. Can you name five young players that you want on this team in 3 years when you're turning this around?
Well, one of them that came up yesterday, I mean, Kamagrugia Hill has surprised a lot. I mean, he came in, he was a journeyman, started off practice squad, worked as one of the Eagles, does it kind of every now and then, linebacker, and then Miami last year, he tried to get a shot as a linebacker and on the team, and then that didn't pan out, so now he's with the Texans. And I mean, Zach Cunningham, he's been, benched for disciplinary reasons twice, one for a quarter against the Browns in the full game yesterday. And Grugier Hill set the franchise record for single-game tackles with 19. I mean, that's just emblematic of kind of how he's been on another level this year. I think if you look at, like, his size and his speed, you might find, like, a Zach Cunningham profile, something where you would think that would not be the case. But I think Grugier Hill has established himself to
he's going to be 30 in 3 years, though. He's going to be 30 in 3 years. He's 27, though. I mean,
I think he's the kind of guy that they have for at least depth as the years go on. I mean, Brandon Cooks would be around. I mean, that's another one.
It's another older guy, though. I'm talking about good young players.
Younger players. I mean, Roy Lopez has been doing well. I mean, you see some of these mid-run Brown guys that they picked up on, and Nico Collins is another. Mm-hmm. I think through the year, he's done well in different spots. Like it started with the Tennessee game that they started to work him into the offense, trying to get him on those end zone saves, but. I mean, just how the offense has not been able to put them in spots, it's hard to really evaluate him. Brevin Jordan, I think, is another one of those. It's interesting because, I was talking about the history of the Titans. Mid-round guys generally don't, turn into, consistent long-term starters. But, I think those three are interesting ones who might be able to hang on long-term. And the thing about Jordan, Jordan Akins was, a big part of the tight end cycle to start the year. And now he's just, been sidelined to try and give Brevin Jordan these opportunities. And, I think that's another good reason to kind of see what you had in Davis Mills, who I think if he starts to play well, and he could be, part of, obviously he's under contract, so he would be here long term unless they tried to. Unless they had to part ways with him, try to cut him or something later in the years. Mills might be developed into a backup, if not a long-term starter, how he plays. It's that way too. And, the rest of this team.
Maybe Grenard. Grenard is a guy who's a possibility.
He's definitely in that range. I mean, the way that he's been able as a pass rusher, I definitely think he'd probably be in that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where the depth on this team is right now on defensive line, on that end too. So, yeah, there's some guys that you could see being a part of this team, and there's not much to see, and it's hard to kind of dig through. When you watch the game to try and find that. But yeah, I mean, I think those guys apply what you would see long term.
Brooks, I recognize this team lacks talent on the offensive side of the ball, but as far as Tim Kelly, down 21 points, first play of the fourth quarter, Texans have a 3rd and 8 at the Colts 42, and they're designing a run for Rex Burkhead for 2 yards. How does Tim Kelly still have a job this morning? And big picture, David Culley's back year two. Do you think there's significant changes to his coaching staff?
Yeah, I mean, it's you look at Tim Kelly, and he was a guy that was retained from the last coaching staff, and I mean, when you're shut out twice and you've scored fewer than 10 points in many games, I mean, I think there's definitely some evaluation at that and on that. I mean, when you look at the offense too and the way that it's been set up, I mean, this was a team that without Deshaun Watson was not going to have much firepower. And you knew that, and you knew the offensive line was still as shaky as it was in recent years. So, I mean, every wrinkle they try, I mean, every week they break out some new run scheme to try and get things going, and that's just not there. That third and eight run, I mean, I was confused about it, too. I was looking at that last night when I was rewatching the game, and, I mean, I guess the idea there that it's fourth down territory, maybe you might get 4 or 5 yards and be able to go again, but, I mean, at a certain point you wonder what plays would even work with some of the players that they're run with this right now. I mean, they couldn't get the ball anywhere. So, I mean, over and over, an evaluation of the whole team, yeah, I mean, if you're making changes and trying to get something, I mean, talking to Tim Cowley last week, I mean, he kind of owned that. He was saying, you know, it's his job to find answers even when they're hard to find. So, you know, going into next year, start wondering, like, okay, what fixes are going to actually help? You know, right now, I don't think any mid-season changes would help because of the same things that we're talking about. Like, is someone else going to be able to find the answers with these guys? You know, they're certainly going to try and find some new players in the offseason and in the draft and free agency, and they'd have to decide whether they think, you know, another coordinator is going to help them there. So, yeah, I think that all that's up definitely for debate at this point.
Yeah, well, Tim Kelly was a lot better last year with Deshaun than he is this year. That's for sure.
Hey, I wonder why.
Yeah. Quickly, before we let you go, you were at LSU. I thought it was a bad. I'm an LSU guy, and it was a bad look getting rid of a coach after just 2 years, Brooks. But without being specific, there was a lot of stuff swirling about Coach O. No, at LSU, and it wasn't it's not. I know LSU fans are unreasonable and, you know, actually downright stupid sometimes about how much they should be winning, but actually Coach O kind of buried himself there, didn't he?
Well, you know, whenever you go from national championships to 5-5 to 4-7, you know, that's not a sustainable job. You know, the expectations. I mean, that's a pressure cooker deal. The SEC's gaining teams, and they need to maintain relevancy. Yeah. And, you know, Ed Orgeron was an interim head coach who, you know, worked his way into the long-term job. And then, you know, was his whole deal was, you know, being a CEO type. You know, he was the one who could hire and build a staff and recruit and build a foundation on a team. And once those things started to fall apart, you know, the argument to keep him, you know, wasn't there. I mean, from the transition from 2019 to 2020.
But he lost 19 guys, and he lost his two coordinators. Now, I know Alabama just reloads. They don't rebuild. But you got to give him a little bit of a break there.
Well, the one thing, you remember the Boltolini hire,
yeah,
something he admitted later on, is that he didn't even interview.
Yeah.
So, you know, whenever you're tasked with building a staff, and you make a hire there, and then the defense jumps down to last year where they're having a lot of the same explosive plays that they were giving up that we see with the Texans doing a lot this year. And they were last in passing defense. That was LSU with Derek Stingley and a bunch of secondary talent. They went last in passing defense.
Either. Stingley just said, nah, I'm done. You know, I mean, he's had I know Coach O has his flaws. And, oh, by the way, behind the scenes, there's a lot of other stuff swirling as well, and I think that probably had a lot to do with it. But he is bowl eligible this year. And to rebuild, I know it's not Alabama. You don't go 11-1 every year. But I thought, you know, hell, I know LSU fans are. You know, how long were you there? You know LSU fans are unreasonable with what they expect out of that program.
Well, I mean, they're also a program the last 20 years. You look at what other place has won 3 national championships with 3 different coaches. I mean, the recruiting there is set up. LSU should win 9-10 games a year with the talent that they have. And, I mean, it's a self-sustaining program. I don't think, I mean, I just recruiting in South Louisiana and all that, like, I do think if you put in a coach like Brian Kelly, I mean, it was a hire that I didn't really expect, and I wasn't really as plugged in as recent because I've been covering the Texans. But it makes sense. I mean, if you want to maintain relevancy, if you want to maintain competitiveness, I mean, I think LSU is one of those places you can do that. So, I mean, You know, I don't think it's weird when you look at it across the college landscape and you see like teams like why is Florida State losing? Why is USC losing? Why are all these places losing? Like LSU 4-7, 5-5. Like, I mean, or not 4-7, no. But you know, it's 5-5 last year and then Ben Boyles. Well, this year it's just. I don't know. I think that's the right move, and with all the things that were going on too, like you were saying. I mean, it's
there's more stuff too. Hey Brooks, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. Man, I don't envy your job having to go out there every day.
Just anytime, guys.
I tell you that I just don't envy that job. Brooks Cabina, Houston Chronicle, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're gonna get into the Christmas spirit on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. Let's do that. Here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And I want you, listen, it's the time of giving. They have great starter cars at Chastang Ford for your youngster. If your youngster is turning 16, if a car is in the offing for this holiday season, well, then get it at Chastang Ford because they have a wonderful, wonderful starter cars that you can get at an unbelievably low price, and it's safe, too, by the way, where you're going to feel good about your youngster out there on the road with 2 tons underneath them. So if you're looking for a great car to starter, or you're looking for that Ford pickup, the F-150, or you're looking for the Bronco, or whatever it is that you're looking for, Chastang Ford is the place to get it and customize it exactly how you want it with no dealer add-ons. They're not ever going to upsell you. And the first thing they'll ask you is, where do your payments have to be at? Because they don't want you choking on them. They want you to love your Ford car or truck, love your experience, love the great service, love everything about what's going on at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, or you can do it all from home. They'll deliver the car to you. You can test drive it at home and send it back if you don't like it. It's all at ChastangFord.com.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 7:52, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, let's get in the Christmas spirit, our 12 days of giving. Now, if you haven't heard about this, well, you haven't because we haven't talked about it yet. That's the first time that we're talking about it. It's 12 days of giving. We want to raise money every single day for a different charity. And it's sponsored by Veritex Community Bank. On the first day, we'd like to give back to the Star of Hope, a Christ-centered community dedicated to meeting the needs of homeless men, women, and their children. We're encouraging you, our wonderful listeners, to head to ESPN975.com/12days to give what you can. Plus, get this, David Gao, CEO of Gao Media, has generously agreed to match donations to each charity up to $500. So we need to get to that at least $500 today. So head to ESPN975.com/12days to make your donation to Star of Hope now. No donation will go unnoticed. It doesn't have to be five. It can be $10, $5, $10, $15, $20. But listen, it is the time of giving. So every day, how about this? Make a point of it. I'll give $10 today. I'll give $20 today. Whatever the case may be. 12 days of giving. Just give something to help out somebody else in the community. Don't just think of yourself all day, Art. That's one of our listeners, Art. Childish Altuve. Do you ever hear from him?
He thinks of himself. Is that what you're trying to say?
He does. He's selfish like that. He is. So everybody, you know, if you can, whatever you can, Star Hope is awesome. And this is a bad time. At some point it's going to be cold here. Right. And so it's going to be bad for homeless people. Like if I was a homeless person, I don't know if I'd ever be homeless in Minnesota. You know what I mean? Or Chicago. I want to be down here for homelessness.
You don't think they migrate based on the temperature?
I don't. Yeah, isn't it tough to get from Chicago to here if you're homeless and don't have any way to get down here?
I feel like it used to be a lot easier back in the day. Hitchhiking was more legal then. More
or
accepted.
Jump on a train.
Yeah,
I saw old movies of where hobos would jump on trains. Right. I don't know that that happens anymore.
I feel like it's less likely to happen now. So if you're homeless being in Houston, I mean, at least over this weekend, it was 75 degrees and sunny.
Yeah.
And on just into early December, you can't beat it.
But it's going to be cold at some point. So there's people that need your help out there. They need your help anyway. So let's go. You know who else needs our help is Gilbert. He's here. And Gilbert's got some problems going on. What's going on, Gilbert?
I'm in the hospital.
Oh, no, you're not. What's the matter, Gilbert?
I got pneumonia.
You got pneumonia?
I won't be going to the Christmas party, okay?
Well, wait, but you're going to be in there for 3 weeks? It's 3 weeks
probably.
Away. What do you mean, probably?
Probably. How?
You're going to milk this thing, ain't you, Gilbert?
I can't walk anyway.
You can't walk? What happened?
I fell down, you know, when I was drinking something, you know.
What were you drinking? Alcohol?
So. I just say, wait till next year, call Jennifer Reyna.
We should see. Gilbert wants Jennifer Reyna. Do you know who Jennifer Reyna is?
Should I know who she is?
Well, she's a weather person here.
What?
Wait.
I can hear you.
Wait, I was talking to my co-host here, Jake. And he doesn't know about Jennifer Reyna. Why don't you tell him about what do you think? What do you think of Jennifer Reyna, Gilbert?
She's okay.
He wants us to get Jennifer. All
right, Reyna. I gotta go then. Talk to you later, then. Okay.
All right, Gilbert. Well, get better. Get better. Call us again.
Bye.
Gilbert's in the hospital now. I don't believe a word of it. Not one single word. He's told us his dad had cancer. He had cancer. He's told us his bike is stuck. Gilbert lies.
I think the biggest takeaway from that call, John, is that he might not be at the Christmas party 3 weeks from now.
Well, and tell Jennifer Reyna not to come now. He'll come next year. But you know what? If he doesn't show up, there's a good chance we're going to tell that Jennifer Reyna did show up, and he missed it, and that's on him.
I just looked her up.
Because of his pneumonia. He has pneumonia.
I can see why Gilbert's a big fan of her work.
Mm-hmm. Gilbert. Yeah, you just looked her up.
Yeah. I did. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Gilbert's a big fan. Yeah. And you. Yeah. You can see that. You can see why. Absolutely. Gilbert. Gilbert not at the Christmas party. So we. I don't know. Should we cancel? Should we change things up for the Christmas party now? You guys chime in.
Is Lance going to be there? I'm starting to get concerned.
Yeah. We don't know about that. Can't cap. I'm not going to. That's up in the air right now, isn't it? It's the winter of Lance right now. It's the winter of Lance where Lance just apparently just doesn't care about coming in here anymore. But yet he's walking around the halls. Yet he's always walking around the halls here when he's missing the show. I'll bet you he'll be, I don't know, maybe not. I think he might be traveling today. He might be traveling. What?
I think he's in Chicago.
Yeah, but I think he's coming back today. He said a lot of people were asking about me there, and he wasn't saying anything. He wouldn't give them any information on
it. He might not make it back if people are asking about you.
Yeah, right. Well, I don't know. I don't know why they would be asking Lance about me in Chicago, but apparently that was the case. Yesterday, Lance told me that. It's 7:57 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, we'll hear. We didn't even get to it with about the suspension, but I guess we have to talk about another Texan suspension on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Look, the bowl season is here, and I'm on right now looking at all the bowls. University of Houston is catching 3 points against Auburn. I think I know which side I like on that one. Give me those three. I'm going to take them. You got every game. Army-Navy this weekend. Army, a big favorite, 7.5 points. That's always a battle. I don't know how. 7.5 just seems like a lot. But here's the deal. You can discern. You can disseminate. You can say whatever it is that you're looking for in a bet. You got it. And you can decide which bet you enjoy the most. Well, all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And oh, by the way, whatever you deposit right now, whether you're on, you're not on, never been on before, whatever the case may be, you deposit money right now, and they will match up to $1,000. And no other bookie does that. Nobody. This is the only place that you're going to find somebody doing that. And they've been doing that for years. Look, it's a great site, easy to navigate. They've got all the bets you could possibly want. It's not just football, basketball, baseball, everything. I mean, it's stupid how many bets you can make here at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You're looking for a great place to play, win, and get paid. Mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.